Hello people, I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to the wonderful station, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scrooge or Scroogey, on many other nicknames that I've acquired over the years. Our telephone numbers tonight are 323-62-325-4316-325-4259. You can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. And it's a pleasure to be your host on this wonderful Friday. There are a lot of news circulating on social media and in the news. I don't know where to start from, so I try my best to see how I can have a wonderful show like always. Today, we're going to talk about a prison inmate who was put on the scheme and was recently killed. Went into a gas station, and you would like to know, was it a good idea to let a convicted murderer to be on the scheme, or we should have picked a less serious crime inmate, you know, like probably stealing, probably house breaking, or firearm possession, probably they should be considered to go into the scheme. But depends on this conversation tonight. We'd see if you could come to some type of dialogue or agreement on the matter. Also, I'd like to talk about activists want stronger action to prevent sex crimes against children. And then I would comment on the wonderful work that the deputy commissioner of police, Clayton Fernando, is doing an excellent job of informing the public on the process, on the progress and the process of the police involvement of high-powered firearms that are being found throughout Nassau and throughout the Bahamas, and his response to the criminal elements is that, you know, they're shooting at the police. What you think they're going to do to me and you? I'm talking about the civilians, he's talking about the criminals. So, again, let me start the show, see where I'm going to start from. All right. I also want to let the general public know that most of these murders and sexual crimes and poisons involved in these crimes, I personally know, like, how the relationship either with the basketball tournament or me being a former gang leader or me being a community leader, I'm knowing many of these persons throughout my lifespan. Many persons talk to me, ask me for advice, and I get a lot of information from persons who in and out of prison and et cetera. So I'm well informed. So I'm going to give you guys a little bit of the information I receive. Okay, so I'm going to start with, let me go with activists want stronger action to prevent sex crime. Okay. Let me go. Sorry. Supporters of Rise Bahamas and other civic groups chant, we won't rest, following a rally and press conference in Rawson Square Garden yesterday in advance for better child protection legislation and an honor of the life of little baby Bella Walker, you know, who died as a result of blunt force trauma and abuse from parents and guardians. And activists want stronger action to prevent sex crime. I think right now in our country, we have to have a stricter penalty for the sex crime in the country. I don't know if this is going to make a difference or what. If this is going to stop people from committing heinous crimes against minors, you know, especially females and males, you know, young kids. I don't know if the penalty is, if this penalty is going to make people think twice or three times. Because as it seems now, it seems to me that this is a part of our culture. Recently, we have seen where, let me go to my phone. Recently, we have seen where a pastor on the family island who was just recently charged for a minor. All right? So if we have pastors, you know, who have been doing these kind of things for a long time, but they are protected and, you know, they use God and they use the church and they use their friends in high places to protect them. Why is they doing these pedophile crimes against minors who they're supposed to be uplifting and be a person who is respected to these young kids to guide these boys and girls and teenagers in the right direction. But it seems to me that people in high places, I mean, it's all over, can't just say people in high places, but people in high places are being exposed. But it seems to me that trend is going on that a lot of evil is being revealed in this country. And even though Danielle Burrows and Her Rise organization, I saw Families for Murder victim, Candia, she was there also. Many other persons are females who are active in for child protection, you know, no more legislation to be passed. I think we're sick in this country, right? First of all, because reading the newspaper seems to be a sick in this country. I've seen so many, darkness come with the light in this country. And even though we are asking for stiffer penalties, like I said, I don't know if stiffer penalties are going to help us. I think that the Bahamas needs a real rain check because, I mean, it's crazy. You know, you're seeing it from pastors, you're seeing it from police officers, defense force officers, regular citizens. You know, just recently, it was alleged that a father pulled a firearm on his daughter, and that he, man, it's crazy. And he told her to masturbate. I mean, he masturbated twice. He, well, I'm honest, listen, this is some crazy stuff, but most people won't believe this. This guy lived 2 doors away from me, you know, and I know him, I talk to him, you know, it's like, you know, people, like, I don't know, you know, but he got a good beating. Those young guys, man, they was all over him, man. They beat him so bad, you know, the police came and, you know, he got carried to the station. He just got released, I think, day or two ago. And, you know, pull a gun on his daughter, and then he told her to masturbate while he jerk off or some crap. You know, I think there's a lot of sick people in this country, you know, a lot of sick people in this country, a lot of sick people. I don't know what to say. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't think stiffer penalty is going to be able to help us. I think we need to start from the kids, start teaching them what is right and wrong, you know. You know, education, we have to be able to, listen, I only can try my best. I only can try my best today. I try my best, because it's crazy, you know. Yeah, but Rise Bahamas is really pushing the issue, and I must give kudos to Tennille Burrows for doing a wonderful job of pushing an initiative like this, even though we need more legislation to protect the child in the country. But we also have to change the mindset of the citizens of the country and understand what's the value of a child. You know, why we shouldn't molest with a child, why we shouldn't take advantage of the child, you know. And we're going to have to educate. I think that this is going to, take us at least about 20 to 30 years to even get this right, unless we focus on the motto. All right? Like I said, that gentleman, he lived 2 doors away from me, you know. And like I said, it was news, you know, because we know a lot of stuff in our community, but there's nothing we could do behind closed door. It's a ledge. We don't know if it's true or what, but like I said, the young guys, them was likes to kill him. Yeah, and this is one of the reasons Rise Bahamas is pushing for this initiative to make sure that we can protect the child, that the law protects the child, but the law comes after the fact. You know, the law is not there when this child is being molested in this home. The law is not there when the person responsible for the child is taking advantage of the child. The law is not there. The law comes after a report is made. And then the penalty can be applied. But many of these cases, as you can see, are not reported because, you know, if you listen to the situation with the pastor on the family island, you would hear where he was threatening the young lady that if she talked about the motto, that he would kill her. So many people, out of fear, would keep their abuse to themselves because they're ashamed, and then, you know, they're afraid also. And we've seen it from the pastor. We've seen it from my neighbor. You know, it's crazy. There's a lot of sick people in this country. Oh, boy. I don't know what to say. Stiffer penalties, I don't think it's going to help us. I think if we don't change the mindset in this country by combining a lot of programs in the school, in the homes, I don't see nothing else happening to change us in a different direction unless we change the mindset. Yeah. Let me try. It's very concerning in the country, and if people are out there don't understand how serious mess we're in, then let me try to make it more understandable for you. All right. Now, let me see. Just recently, we had a convict who was convicted of a serious offense in the country. And this is why I'm a little shaky here today, too, you know. I'm kind of lost for words, particularly for my family. But anyway, this particular individual was put on the work scheme. And according to the Minister of National Security. Let me see where it is. I get it somewhere. But anyway, yeah, I get it right, y'all. Timothy Sanders, the convicted killer, the convict was killed at a gas station on Monday, was approved by the Bahamas Correctional Center work scheme under the Minister's administration. National Security Minister Wayne Monroe said yesterday. Mr. Monroe said Sanders was near the end of his 18-year prison sentence, having been set for release in 2024 following a manslaughter conviction. Mr. Monroe said Sanders was approved for the work scheme on September 13, 2021 and began the work in February of this year. He was killed on Monday at a Rubus gas station on Market Street and Madera Street, I'm going to go to page 3. Yeah, Mr. Monroe comments came after his predecessor, former Minister of National Security, Marvin Dames, told the Nassau Guardian the incident must be examined to determine why Sanders was even selected for the program. We ought not to play politics with this, Mr. Dames said. Don't think people charged with homicide should be, should not be on the scheme. They should not have been approved anyway, Mr. Monroe said, on the advice of police, Deputy Commissioner Clayton Fernandez, the prison has suspended the work scheme for security checks and rationalists for people who are being convicted of murder or manslaughter, Mr. Monroe said. He said there were 17 people on the program, 11 of whom were serving sentences for murders or manslaughter. All were approved under the previous administration. Officers who aren't convicted of these things, we saw no reason for them not to continue in the program. But based on what happened, I've had the conversation with the commissioner of police and the commissioner of the prison, and it was decided to take the action, Mr. Monroe said. I don't take any issue with these persons being approved for the work scheme because it's supposed to be independently administrated. You must look at persons' response, how close they are to be released, whether they have been rehabilitated, how likely they are to commit a crime. The thinking is that with such little time left on their sentence, they are unlikely to break the rules, and we need to get them ready to go back into society. And we don't want to release them back broke. The inmate on the scheme wasn't the security issue. The person who shot and killed him was the security problem. Now, if we said the inmate on the scheme had done something, then that would be a different story. If the argument is that having him outside the prison after being convicted of this offense, having served time makes him more vulnerable to an attack like this, then what do you make of the fact that he would be released in a short period of time? That won't change. That problem won't change. The problem is the person's involved with this murder. If that person has a bad mind, he is going to either act in a year or in a 2-year time period. Mr. Monroe said nothing related to work scheme has come for his approval so far in his tenure as the Minister of National Security. Okay, made some good points, so let me see if I can picture this. This Timothy Sanders, he was charged for manslaughter for the death of my brother, my sister, his girlfriend, my sister's unborn 8-month-old baby, and my brother's girlfriend who was 2 to 3 weeks pregnant. This is one of the most heinous crimes that has gone on in the country. We as the family members did get no report, no updates on both of them being released. One was released I think last year on the technicality, and now this one was on the work scheme, and we didn't even get a notice to say and ask us if we think he should be put up for parole or to be on the work scheme. And this is one of the most heinous crimes that has happened in this country. For me, I let life take its course. I know me personally, I have never killed an innocent person in my entire life. I've never hurt a pregnant woman. I've never hurt an old man, old woman, or grandpa. I've never hurt child, abuse, neglect, sexually assaulted any children. Never in my life. So as far as I'm concerned, this it's hard to believe that with a serious crime and a serious offense like this, without proper rehabilitation, you're going to release these type of persons on the work scheme. You guys can't be serious. You guys are a bunch of bull crap in this country. All right? If it's someone who did a minor offense, they should be put on the work scheme. But persons who take people's life, they already forfeit their lives. Yes, God has tell us, yes, you shall forgive. I have nothing against none of these young men. I've had my hard share of hard times in life, and I know how to forgive. All right? But I've been hearing reports about the same young man in prison who was abusing other inmates because he was a bully. Now, he is given a second chance. Okay? He was killed on a job. Now, he might not be doing no crime. And first, let me just say this to his family. I would like to say this to his mom, or if you have a dad, or you have a sister, or you have a brother, or you have a loved one, you might have a child out there. That's Timothy Sanders. And now they're feeling what we feel when my brothers and sisters was killed, or the hundreds of behemoths who have lost loved ones in this country are feeling. So my sympathy goes out to them also. And I hope that, you know, they find some peace, you know, because it's very difficult to lose a loved one, despite whatever background they come from. You know, so I want to say to his family, you know, I hope that you guys are all right. I know you're going through the mourning. You know, it's hard. It's difficult. And you're hearing the stuff that I'm saying about your son or your uncle. I mean, you know. And, you know, it's hard. But I also have to have a heart because I understand that he has family members also. And despite me saying what I'm saying about my family members getting killed on his behalf because he was brought guilty on it, they still have a family. And I look at this from perspective also. So I want to send my condolence to his family as well, because at the end of the day, you know, we all be humans. But when you do wrong, wrong comes back to haunt you. All right? So to his family, you know, my condolences goes out to his mom or his daddy or whoever his loved ones are. I still feel it because he's a human as well. But I heard reports about him because, you know, a lot of people come hail me from jail. Okay, and talk to me about the situation, about the prison life. And they told me that he personally was a bully in prison. So if they're saying that he was rehabilitated, he was not. He would have come out again and do the same thing, what he's ever going to be doing. All right? Shouldn't have been released in the first place. Out here in the minister, former Minister of National Security, saying he don't know how it happened on the air watch. Murderers should not be released on the work stream. I'm not saying this to disrespect no one in the prison out there who have committed murder. I don't say you don't deserve a second chance. Okay? Unless you are being rehabilitated where there's no report of you. Why is you in prison doing anything illegal against an ex-inmate? But if you have clear A's and clear B's from those who are helping you rehabilitate yourself, and they're saying this, where you're becoming a model prisoner or inmate and preparing you for when you're going to be released in 2024, step by step, you know, I think they should never be put in an environment where you were charged with murder. Let me just say this now. Just say, if Valentino Braun, right now in my stage, you know, I changed my life. Yes, I changed my life. I'm trying to be a moral citizen. I forgive people because I did wrong too. But I never hurt no innocent people. I never raped nobody, okay? I never robbed nobody, all right? I just was a straight-up gangster. But I mean, if you try to come at me, I come at you 100. I don't care who you is or whatever it is. We could bottle it. We could shoot it out. We could joke it out, whatever it is. I'm going to do that. That's how I was. I was never one to go and hurt innocent people. I was never one to go rob nobody, you know? I was never the one to be disrespectful to people. I just was a straight up violent person. And I did violent means I like to stop, I like to fight, you know, I like to shoot. But that's if someone comes and attack me and try to endanger my life, so I defend myself. So I'm all good with that. But it's rest of stuff that some of these guys are doing in the country, I ain't for all that, because that is uncalled for. All right? Could you imagine me, you know, change my life? I go to get some gas from the gas station now. All right? I didn't see this guy. You know, I know him personally too, you know. He's staying with me too, you know. Listen, general public, let me show you how serious this is. When I was a gang leader, this guy who killed my sister, two of them used to hang with me. One was a Raiders and this one was from Carmichael Road. You see how serious this is? Two of them who I'm talking about right now used to hang with me right in Hay Street. I know them personally. But anyway, let me finish. Could you imagine me going to put some gas in my car, feeling dead good? Just dead good, dead good. And I say, man, boss, put 125 in it. When I look in this guy's face, if my, and I'd have to, listen to me, I'd have to rub my eye 120, 30 times, because now I'm seeing the guy who's responsible for my sister and brother to a gas station. What you think is going to be my reaction? What you think is going to be reaction for any one family member out there who sees someone getting charged for it before the court, their face is in the newspaper, they go in the court to see these guys, and they know these guys kill their loved one. Now, 10, 11, 12 years later, when this person is supposed to be lost in jail, you know, because my father was convicted of manslaughter and murder, and he spent close to 30 years in prison. I saw my father when I was 27. Okay, so I know what's going on here. Well, anyway, could you imagine what run through my head to see someone pumping gas who just did one of the most heinous crimes in the country, and he's allowed to be pumping gas, and everyone deserves a second chance. Like I say, everyone deserves a second chance, right? But in certain instances, they deserve a different second chance, you know, not to be free, not to be working. Yeah, in some cases, they could if they rehabilitated properly. But from what I heard about prison and him, he was not rehabilitated. He still was a bully. So the minute he get free, he's going to save some money. I need to be laying around the street to hurt somebody again. All right? That's how serious this is. So what you think would run through my mind? Why is this guy pumping gas? He might not even be pumping in my car. He might be pumping in someone's car in front of me, and I'm just looking. So you could imagine anyone else who in this country, who this individual ever beat up in prison, or someone, family member, you heard besides my family members, and then see him there to the gas station yard. So what you think happened? Huh? That person, when they probably spot him, they couldn't believe their eyes. You know, they run, get their gun. They forget about the police. This is broad daylight now. Don't get me wrong. Shootings are being going on in this country from Muir and gangs in the 90s, all right? Because I was involved with shooting in broad daylight in the 90s, in broad daylight, all right? So this ain't nothing new just yet. It's gone overboard now because there are so many people now don't have no God in them, don't have no principle in them no more, and a lot of people are really sick and going through a lot of trauma, and they're reacting out, and the only way they're reacting out is through violent crimes in the country. All right? So you could imagine that. It's crazy. And then the former Minister of National Security, Marvin Names, and all these people come out on the work scheme under his administration. Why convict persons who commit heinous crimes are on the work scheme? No, man. It's disrespectful to us, a citizen. You know, we're trying to say now, we're trying to build a trust back in the judiciary system. We can't build a trust back like this. It's crazy. You know, it's just crazy. They are canceling and suspended. I'm sorry for the other gentlemen who are on the Wakes game. You know, I'm sorry, you know, it had to happen to you guys. You know, some of y'all might be rehabilitated, but like they say, one bad apple spoils the whole, what do you say? Spurs the whole stock, and they just made it bad for you, the rest of you guys. You know, again, next person I knew, I want to send out a shout out to my friend in Freeport, Zani, and family of the Pence. They have had a lot of loved ones who have been executed recently, and if anyone will. Looking on Facebook a few months ago, a few years ago, you would see many of the persons had hits on them, some 100,000, some 20,000, some 30,000. And some of them I knew personally, like I said, being community-minded or being a former gang leader or being someone that people still looks up to. I still get information. And sometimes I hear the stories that some of my friends or former colleagues, they're still my friends, but they are friends from a distance because I changed my life. I'm going in a direction where I could be a plus to the country, not a takeaway to the country. But I still know them personally, and I hear the stories, and I hear what they're doing in the country. JP, Juwan Penny, was just recently killed in Freeport last week. He was killed with his baby in his hand. And, you know, I knew him also. Most people who know about him, I don't want to say nothing, you know, bad against JP. That was my boy, you know, but He lived a certain life, you know, and he's one of the, you know, I know his whole family. He passed away, so it's hard for me to really say things that, you know, bad against him or good, because you know the family is going through a time, and I know the family, and I don't wanna, I just try to say it the best way I can. And he was a top guy in the country, top gangster in the country, top and gangster in the country. But it wasn't reported like that on the news because people wouldn't know. But he was one of those who, you know, and it just shows you that all of these incidents that are happening in the country, some way, somehow, I connected to them. The gentleman who the police found with the extra drum in the back trunk of the car where they were hiding. That gentleman, I know him also too. He's a resident of Lewis Creek. He lives two houses to the left of me. The next person lived three houses to the right of me who did the crime against, the large crime against the young lady where he pulled the gun to her head. Then this one who get charged with this firearm possession and looked to be charged with a few murders because they're saying that when they apprehend them with this weapon, which was normally carries 15, but it has a drum, a modified drum. So instead of it carrying 16 shot or 15 shot, it now carries 50 shots. It's modified. And, you know, I know him also. He just was released from prison during like a 7 or 8 year sentence. I know his mom. I know his dad. His dad was in prison for armed robbery. During our time as gangsters, and he was a baby, just like my father went to prison when I was a baby in my mother's womb. So it's just a cycle happening over and over. You know, and I could give a count of these things because I was there from the inception, so I could tell you exactly what goes on in these young men's life. Yeah, and his father was in prison, and he just came out of prison about 3-4 months ago. And every time he come out, he goes on a spree, you know, and it is reported that they have them for questioning for murder and will be charged for numerous murders. So that's what most of these guys do when they come out of prison. You know, they serve time. If they're not properly rehabilitated, they become mock and be a menace to society, to us. Yes, and most of these guys who we're talking about all come out of prison. So when Tennille Burrows and her RISE organization is saying stiffer penalties for legislation to protect the child in the country, how is possible we're going to be able to protect the children of this country when we have persons like those who are coming out of prison who are not rehabilitated? If we go back a few years ago, when Marco Archer, Eduardo Goodman, or Eduardo Ferguson was my classmate, and he was also my friend, and we went to D.W. Davis together. And he went to prison at a young age, at the age of 15, 16. And he went to prison. He spent about 9 years in prison. I heard the story of him being a hardened criminal and was eating mean business. He was stabbing people with knife. You know, he's doing whatever he had to do to survive. Then I heard that he got molested, and then he himself turned a pedophile in prison, according to what I heard. You know, because news come to me when you was a guy who done run the streets, you have connections. You know, you have information coming all around from the street, from prison, and et cetera. Yeah, and then he came out, and then he was convicted for a heinous crime against Marco Archer. And Tennille Burrows and RISE organization is pushing for legislation to protect, you know, children in the country. And then he came out of prison, and then he was let back on the street again. And he didn't even last, 2-3 months. And listen, he is on the run for Marco Archer. And then when you listen, case goes to court, he is convicted, then he appeals, he wins it, then he appeals, then he gets convicted again. Now he's appealing it again. And he was let back in society, but he was not rehabilitated. So we are saying, if you go to prison, spend the time, you know, you do the time. Yes, you know, but like I say, he was back on the street after his service, a certain sentence for the first charges that he was convicted for, and then he committed the offense with Marco Archer. Now he is appealing this case. He's spending a lifetime now in prison. You know, it's crazy. You know, so even though we want stronger laws to prevent the sex crime in our country, but what are we going to do with those persons who are coming out of prison who are not rehabilitated? What are we going to do? The guys come up to come over, we say, if they do the crime, spend the time, so the judge gives them 25 years. They go, they spend their 19. They're not rehabilitated. They come back in these communities that are undeveloped, be done and organized, all right? You go back in these communities, these same young gentlemen, and they go to bring death and destruction. Let me give you the next prime example again. My good friend Timothy Cole, you know, he grew me up in the Grunsnanka area, made me probably how I rough and tough now. That comes with a couple other people that made me rough and tough, but he was the big brother. Timothy Cole, he was convicted of Inspector Blatch. You know, he just come off a 17-year stretch. Before that, he came off a 13, 14-year stretch. He ain't last on the streets 3 months. The minute he come out, he was responsible for killing Inspector Blatch. Then he turning himself in. Turning himself in. Now he's spending up to 35 years in prison. Was he rehabilitated? But like they said, you know, 70, 80 to 90% of those in prison are convicted felons will eventually come back on the streets. And this is going to be the solution. The guy who get killed in the gas station, when Timothy Cole comes out, They wreck havoc, and then they go back to prison. Or like the young gentleman where they said, it's my neighbor. He's only about 23, 24, 25. And he is a terrorist. You understand what I'm saying? You're just how serious it is. I don't think our authorities in this country know what they're dealing with. You know, all y'all talking about y'all, this and that. But y'all don't know what's going on in this country. Y'all completely lost. Y'all don't know the seriousness going on in this country. But anyway, I see the producer saying we're going to take a little break. And I'll see you after you come back.
Watch the crops them coming. Today see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no
around
reason.
The world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
At CauchRite, our members know that there's a lot to smile about. They know that membership has its privileges. Guaranteed low pricing on every item, every time you shop. Each membership comes with two cards. That's one for you and a free card for a member of your household. Gold card holders earn an annual 2% rebate up to $500. CauchRite members get discounts at other participating businesses, so that's a lot to smile about. Whether it be clothing, appliances, home goods, or groceries, shop at CauchRite, where membership truly has its privileges.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call, all from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
La 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 la. La 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 la.
We're back on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. You know, I'm kind of feeling a little not in the mood, but I'm trying my best to have this conversation with you guys to let you know what we're facing out here, you know. And we're facing some serious dangers in the country. And our elected officials, they don't have a clue what's going on in the country, you know. They don't understand about the prison life. Do you all know what happened in prison now? They have bullies in prison, people who are convicted for serious crime. They're taking advantage of the young kids. And when you take advantage of kids, do you see them kids who you're taking advantage of, when you be released back on the streets, they're going to get hardened. And then they're going to take, then they're going to come after you. Because like I told you, this by Timothy Sanders, I was getting reports from him, from inmates and persons who getting bailed from prison, and they were telling me how he was behaving in the prison. And he was an animal. All right? So, former Minister of National Security, Marvin Dames, stating that, let me see what he say. But he don't know. Let me read his words. Former ministers questioned why manslaughter convict was released from prison. One day after an inmate was shot and killed while working at a gas station, former Minister of National Security, Marvin Dames, said the government should look into how the inmate who just ran up for murder. Just ran up for murder. Was allowed to participate in the Bahamas Department of Correctional Work Release Scheme. The inmate was identified as Timothy Sanders, who was serving 18 years at the Bahamas DOCS for his role in a triple shooting that left three people dead. And it's more than three people. My sister was 8 months pregnant. My brother's girlfriend, she was 2 to 3 months pregnant. Now, we might not consider embryos as life, which we, as human beings, we can't have that much power. That is life. It is life. For man to determine that an embryo that's inside a woman, even though it's not born, that it is not life, and no one can be charged for a heinous crime like that. These are some of the most craziest laws, and I think we are sick people, because when you get impregnated, all right, that's the blessing from God. They say a atomic bomb goes off in a woman's womb when the sperm reaches that egg. So an atomic bomb, you know what's an atomic bomb, or nuclear bomb goes off in a woman's stomach once the sperm is conceived in a woman's ovule. A big explosion goes on, then life is created. But we get this European doctrine and etc. Abortion is murder also. Abortion shouldn't even be allowed in this country. All right? Because that's how I put it. If you don't want no children, don't have no sex. Simple as that. If you don't want to have no children, then don't have sex for fun. Because that's how I get you. I believe all this crap was going on today is that my parents, my mother and my father, they were just partying. They were teenagers. They had no plans for a future. What I mean, they just having fun. They like one another. They decided to go do the hanky-panky. They had no plans to say, you know, if we do have a child, a boy or girl, what are we going to do with our future? How are we going to set up our future income? They had no plans. And that's how I get you. And when you ain't get no plans, you leave these children like us to suffer. And when we suffer, we turn into monsters because of the neglect. Yeah. And the minister's playing ping pong now. These poisons came out under his watch, under his program, which, like I said, this program, this work release program, could be something significant. It could be very beneficial to those who they're looking for a second chance of life. I'm not saying that the inmates don't deserve a second chance of life, but when you have people charged for serious offenses, unless you know they're properly rehabilitated, then they act this way, you know. But if not, it's a slap in the face for those out there, because the guy who killed him, the guy who killed Timothy Sanders, I guarantee you he was in prison and he was out. I guarantee he been to prison, but he was out. And he spot him at that gas station. They probably had a beef, eh, from prison. And look how serious this young man is. You could imagine getting a gun. It's around about 9, 30, 10, or 11. You see this guy working to a gas station, all right? Cars in and out. You don't know if off-duty police, you don't know if police car patrolling that community on a timely fashion. I know this person had to see it, because anytime you're going to do an offense, you're going to look around and see how the situation is so that you can make your move. And he was so wanted to get Mr. Sanders. He, the footage shows where he came from across the road, like in Camp Road, and he walked to Mr. Sanders, where there's cars, where there's cameras, eh? Where there's cars, where there's cameras, all right? Where there's police patrolling, where a high volume of people, and he let Mr. Sanders have it. And then he gradually draw across the road. What it tells you? It tells you that the guys, no police out there, but where they're so mad, they ain't no police. All right? The police serves a purpose. You know, without them, this country right now would be on fire. You know, if not, if they not taking that 200 round assault rifle off the street, all right, If they didn't take that 9mm, can 50 rounds off the street. That is for a preventative measure. But that's after the fact. The fact of the matter is, the police caught them in the act and they were able to stop them from doing heinous crime. But these guys that already did heinous crimes before that. And there are many more in this country today who are doing heinous crimes in the country. And when I'm saying a lot of sick people, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. On Facebook, I know everyone saw it. You would see a young man is walking, the patrol car comes riding, and this young man, he did not run from the police. He saw the patrol car, and he opened fire on the patrol car. So the patrol car drove off, which I would have drove off to get cover. It drove off. You could see a pedestrian car was on the side. And these pedestrians who were driving the car was just going about their merry way. They ain't had nothing to do with the police and him shooting. They just was minding their own business, trying to get past. But they saw the shooting, so they ran to the right to try to avoid the young gentleman who was discharging the firearm. And as you can see, he looked at them. And he opened fire on them. See, that's because that's the rage that was in the young man. You know, he's mad, he's angry. And he shoot at the police. And then he saw some innocent bystanders who ain't doing nothing, and he opened fire on the car. I think the police must have killed him after his gun gone empty. I don't care if his gun gone empty or what. I can tell you this. That's how I could put it. You don't forfeit your life from firing at the police officer. You don't forfeit your life after you fired at those innocent persons in the car. Many persons might have saw the police shoot this young man and kill this young man. I don't know if he got killed or what, but they said that, you know, he might have got killed. I don't know. They said he might have got killed. Well, if he did get killed, like I say to his family and friends and loved ones, my condolences, but we all could see he was wrong. And if those police to kill him when his gun gone, click, click, I could care less. Because if he did kill one of those police officers, if he did kill one of those police officers, or if he did kill those innocent people in the car, he had nothing to do with his business, then what we would have been here saying? Far as I can say, I could care less if he gun gone, click. I would have shoot him. The minute I get in the car, he don't shoot at me. You know, try to take my life when he go out, protect me from those bullets hitting me. Yes, I have a job to uphold the law and all that stuff, but you forfeit your life. You think I'm going to take a chance to go lock you up, right? To go lock you up, to put you before the court for you to come back on the streets again, to come back and hurt somebody or do that to somebody else. There are a lot of sick people in this country. And if I was to be that kid, I would shoot him too. Bottom line, I don't care if your gun going to click or what, because he forfeit his life. We get some callers on the line. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Hello, Scrooge. You say?
Everything all right, my brother?
All right, Poppy. Scrooge, I hear them talking about building a new prison. I say they need to spend some of this money, what they're going to build a prison, on programs with people in different communities who are trying to do some things for them to save the young people.
I agree.
Think about building a prison, and then they talk about building a prison. I say, get it on, Key, if you really could do it. But you ain't got to go that far. We need to be more proactive than reactive. Like, try help out with situations before these young people. Like how you say, some people, them, they having sex, yes, having fun. They ain't have no plans for the children. Maybe we could use some of the funds to see if we could save one or two of them so we could don't have no more
unwanted children
or the next young man. But Scrooge, tell me something.
Go ahead.
That was your sister who was one of those three or four people who was killed?
Yeah, man, that's my sister.
I think I heard you talk about that before now.
Erica Ward, Corey Brennan, and then Corey's girlfriend. You know, and like I said.
And you say two of them was pregnant.
Two was pregnant. That's why I don't. It's,
and they're talking about three lives? That's five lives.
Right. And my sister.
You never know if they had twins.
You understand? They said that's why, Rachel, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you know, you just speaking, and like you're speaking to the quiet of some muscles, just like plenty of us not being through it, you know, too much, you know. And like I say, we need to invest more money on trying to be more preventive. You know, we have a cabinet minister in my New Day government. His brother stabbed my sister to death. No.
Wow.
Now, you know something, Scrooge? And that would have happened like 27 days. So you imagine the trauma. I mean, in God with me. I that's all I could say, because I don't know where the strength has come from. I only could say the strength has come from God. 27 days, like after I get blind, 1989, one of my beloved cabinet ministers who's sitting in government right now, his brother stabbed my sister. Stabbed her to death.
Hey.
You know, and I was saying, like, when people don't spend their time, we need to, like, remember. See, because I think the Bible say we ain't supposed to do this, be doing this vigilante justice thing. The government supposed to step fast and hurry up and execute, especially when the people aren't convicted and the evidence there. So it'll take that off of our hands to deal with them things. And then us as human beings, them, we really need to digest that, because I try to live with it. I think they'd have given us 15 or 14 years. I consider it as murder, and we'll see what they consider it as manslaughter.
They can't prove it.
Hey, Scrooge, anytime I blind and can't see, right? And anytime I go anywhere, brother, if that name come up and that person there, I start shaking, like trembling, like a tree blowing in the wind. All I just want to do, you know, I feel and think, I'm like, so I'm saying, people that spend their time, we need to respect the law and understand that we can't do nothing else as much as how we feel, right? And ask God for strength to be able to manage it. You understand? Because this vigilante justice, this will never stop.
This will never stop in this country.
We have to put our foot down on it, brother. We have to put our foot down on it. And, you know, people coming out on bail. Boy, I remember, like I tell you, I get blind in 1989 before my sister to get stabbed. I don't know what I was going to do. God, thank you, Jesus, for everything, Lord. I ain't that bad. I give him all the praise. He say, vengeance is his own.
Yeah.
But, the person who blind me, someone tell me this was 10 years ago. It seems like the gas station, it works with those people, because everybody deserves a second chance, and some people don't deserve no second chance, because you know, they don't deserve it. But it seems like the gas station works with these guys then when they're on the scheme.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're telling me, the boy pumping gas, where the boy went, you know, and I had to trust in God. I mean, I had to pray, I had to ask God to give me the truth, to just don't even get in that conversation, because what they was encouraging me, or do I can't see, and saying what they could do for me. I say, man, Jesus could deal with it better. You know what I mean? I forgive and all of that stuff and leave it to God. But, you know, the one with my sister, I battle in that every day, like just asking God to give me strength. I'm not doing nothing. I ain't flying in God's face. I ain't letting vengeance be his own.
Yes.
You understand? So it's a serious thing when people kill the loved ones, with people them out there, people them feeling the pain. So the government need to step in and do some hanging if it's possible, man. Especially when they done finished their case and do privy council and all that stuff. And stop talking foolishness about we can build prison. Let's spend some of that money in the communities with these young people. Start from the primary school. Go in the community. Find out why the young people them carrying on like that.
Yeah.
Why they think it's okay to pick up a gun. Scrooge, I agree with you. It appears that the government, they really don't. They
don't understand.
They say they know what's going on, but they don't think they know what's going on, right?
They don't understand what's going on, yeah?
Scrooge. Like you talk about the young people in your community and different things than the young people. Them. Why these people in Canada? What could the government do right now? What could the minister do right now? See, people like you, they need to listen to.
Yes.
What can they do right now to help out with these situations? How we get these people in the turn in these guns? What we got to do? Arm ourselves to ask the government to legalize or amend the law that law-abiding citizens can carry gun? We need to get them to turn the guns to men?
I
got to hang up and listen, Scrooge. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, thanks. But, Papa, we in a mess, all right? We need to have a gun buyback program, and you talked about it. We need to have programs, direct programs in this community. We need to utilize the parks.
If you'd like to make a call.
Right? We need to create small businesses that will be available in these communities. You understand? See, the community has to take care of itself now. See, there's nothing going on in these inner city communities. There's no empowerment going on in these communities, all right? Right now, you go in any one of these. You could go in Chippenham. You could go in Vash Creek. You could go in Bantown. You could go in Camp Road. You could go in Fox Hill. You could look right now. There's nothing happening positive in these communities, right? We are sending our kids to school, right, to go to 12th grade. But when they finish the 12th grade, right, it ended up like 5,000, 6,000 students who who don't have no employment, can't find no work. So they're going to school. The parents are doing the best they can, right? They finish the 12th grade or they drop out, but there's no employment. So they go right back in these streets and has nothing to do. So only two things is happening here when there's nothing to do in this community. And the only way is you're going to make money in the inner city community, if it's a thief, if you're selling your drugs, eh? Or you're making a little hustle. Other than that, ain't nothing happening. Ain't nothing happening in this community. This country is completely backwards, all right? There's nothing happening. No, there's no employment. There's no empowerment. There's nothing happening for the youths in this country. All right? Nothing happening. Nothing. No work, no nothing. You better thank God for C.B. Moss and certain organization, Walter Henschel, and a few churches that doing a little after school or giving back programs in this country. But other than that, there's nothing happening for the future generation of this country. Nothing. You know? Nothing. We ain't directing our youths in the right direction to show them how to be successful in business and trade. These kids are just hanging on the streets, and if you look at them, in a minute, they train ball. The next minute, they having sex with a young girl. And the young girl is 12, 13, and you have like 6, 7 young guys there with this young girl, right? And watch what's going to happen. Let me show you what happened. I see it over and over and over. This is what has happened. Okay, you have a young lady on the streets. She ain't have nothing going for her. She wants to be known, but she hang with more boys. So we have 6, 7 young guys who the age of 13, from anywhere from 13 to 16 to 17. And what they're going to do, they're going to take this young girl. She's going to be a part of it, but they're going to be hanging together, and they're going to find an old abandoned building. And they're going to, that's an old abandoned building, and they're going to have sex. And then she's going to have sex with 4 or 5 of these guys. And one of them, the 13-year-old, might impregnate her. It could be just as well as a 17-year-old is going to impregnate her. She's not going to know who the father of this child is. So then she's done it at the age of 13, 14, or 15. Then she's going to have this child. She don't know who the father is. The child is going to be fatherless. The parents of her is going to try and pick up the slack. This child that she has in her belly, eh? Because she done is not a mother, and then done is done not in a family structure system. This, he or she, is going to be a terrorist to us in the future. Because, like I said, the parents, our parents, who are having sex right now as we speak, sweethearting, or just because they like somebody, right? Or they like to have sex. Then they're having all these children. You guys, female and males, are the biggest problem in this country. Planned to have children. Don't just go over there and go to the nightclub and have sex, and then you have this child. But then you're married and you don't want to take care of the child, so you leave the child. Now the child, you know, sex, people, boyfriend and girlfriend, a husband and wife, plans for the future. Sex is not something that you just go there and you do because you feel like doing it. It comes at a price. This is what's hurting us in this country. That's why we have so much crazy stuff going on in our country. But anyway, let's take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on inside it. You're on. Inside the inner city. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Good night, ma'am.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. You're just lit static.
Okay, Suji.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't say nothing is happening. Something is happening.
What? You can turn down the radio just a little bit?
It's off. My radio is off.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, what I'm saying, right? If you are politically affiliated with certain parties, something will be happening.
Okay, okay.
So something is happening.
Yeah, you're right. You're right on that.
What's happening to the person more affiliated with these political parties? And, you know, it's a shame, you know, because when you look back at your children and your grandchildren having to grow up in a world like this or Bahamas like this, that's why something needs to change soon.
Yes.
Because every day you're saying it, you know, you ain't have ties with some political party or some family related to who, and society is from. You know, again, nothing happening.
You get left out and leave out.
I'm telling you, that is wrong.
And that's why all this crop happening in our country today.
Yeah, it's wrong, man. Definitely something has to be done about that, you know?
Yes.
But we can't be going forward. It ain't no forward.
No, you know, forward with us right now. It's backwards. It's backwards.
Change course.
Yes.
Can you see us getting out of that or getting away from that?
Not as it is right now. Not as it is right now. We're going to have a lot of this crop for a long time. That's why I say 20 or 30 years.
I'm telling you.
You know, I'm sitting on doing my best to negotiate on behalf of the BME people, telling them my life experience, telling them the stories, and the people, I'm still ain't making no moves. It's over 20-something years now.
Yeah, I know you're doing an excellent job on this radio. Mm. I always listen, but first time calling, so you continue your work, okay?
Thank you very much. And you gave us some good input just now. Like you said, if you don't have a family or friends or lovers, then something happened for you. But for the majority of us, it's taking a toll on us. I'm coming to you right now, caller. Listen.
If you'd like to make
we're not going to create hundredaires, thousandaires, and millionaires. See, if we create hundredaires, millionaires, and thousandaires in the community, we can be able to deal with some of the problems in our community. Because we have people who have funds to help some other people, to get some information, to make some things happen, to have programs running in that community. But we have nothing, everyone poor. So the poor is going to fight the poor down, and we're going to keep on having this problem. We have to find a way to create thousandaires, millionaires, and hundredaires. The hundredaires are the ones who would branch off from those who have their businesses and be able to assist them, like clean up the roads and stuff like that. The millionaires would be able to do programs year-round, help it back to school, find out, help people fix their houses and stuff. You know, if people were empowered in these communities, 20 business owners in the Grandstand area, not part of Grandstand area, we combine our efforts. We could deal with a lot of the problems in our community. You understand? We can't rely on government. We can't rely on the police. Okay? That's the bottom line. We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. And caller, you did a wonderful job of talking with the friends, family, and lovers. And yes, there's something happening. Something happening for those who are involved in both the PLB and the FNM body. Yes. Go ahead, caller.
Okay.
Yes,
I call today to talk in a voice along with you, Scooch.
Hey.
Scooch.
Hey.
We need justice, law, and order in this country. We don't have any justice. We don't have any order
Nothing.
In this country. That's why we are no decent law. That's why we're having problems.
Yes.
But let me ask you something.
Hey.
Now, you spake of what's happening with the youngsters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you live among a lot of them. Do you teach them? Do you make them to know the time?
Sir, if it wasn't for me, we'd have murders happening in Grandstand in Lewis Street, Hay Street, and Taylor Street. Okay? Let me just tell you that. You see our area's down in crime now? That's because that's the work I'm doing in the community. If I talk, I can tell you, I talk to some of the most serious set of criminals right now that hangs in the community, that are doing crime in this country right now. I sit down and talk to them. Right
well,
now.
Well, anyhow, you continue doing what you're doing. Teach them, you see, because what I've noticed, nobody are teaching them the right way, the way to go.
Yes.
Knowing that you know what's happening and you seeing what's happening, when you get in contact with them, teach them,
yes.
And it's going to benefit us and you in years to come.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. And that's what I want the general public to know. Anyone who you could imagine who are doing serious crime in this country, I know personally. All right? And anyone could tell you who live in that community, ask the young gentlemen, all in the community, if I don't talk to them on a daily basis and tell them how I grew up. And they talk with me. You know, when they talk about me, they talk about... They might not know. They might not know. There's someone on the line. Someone on the line? Yeah. Some of the young guys didn't know about me. But their parents know about me. And everyone say, when I was a young, they tell them, say, how I was a terrorist. And they say, boy, daddy Scoochie, but I never know he was like that. Say, my daddy tell me, or my brother tell me, or my auntie tell me. Say, you see him there doing all those good stuff in the community. And all y'all would like to know he was one of the worst. You guys can't even stand in his boot when he was a gangster. You know, and they'd tell the stories of how much violent crimes and what I was involved with. You know, so I do a lot of talking. As I speak right now, Like I just told you, that's my big friend JP who got killed in Freeport. Most people don't know JP, but JP is one of the biggest gangsters in the country. You know? Biggest. Just like Stephen Dystop or anyone in the country, but he would keep it on the down low, but he's my good friend. You know, friend from afar. I wasn't acquainted with him over the years, but he would call me once in a while, and I was telling him, man, you need to take your time, turn yourself into a business man. You understand? So that's what I do. We can take this next call. Good night. Go ahead, caller.
Good night, Scrooge. How you doing, man?
I'm fine.
Yeah, Scrooge, you heard recently, that we're going to be having a census.
Yes, census report.
Scroogey, I mean, what does it mean when I mean, we English-speaking nation, right? I mean, there are all kind of other cultures here that speak a multiplicity of different languages, right?
Yes, sir.
And I mean, why is it that our government, they are not in our census in Creole?
Because they, I think they know.
A big button?
No, I think they know that there's a lot more illegal immigrants here than Bahamians.
So that gives the government the right.
No, okay. It's Bahamas.
The Bahamas, you know, because I mean, how is it that we can have like in our hospital that's from our Princess Margaret Hospital and probably other clinics signage in Creole? I mean, I know that you know, and then this is slipping on us, and the Bahamian people never told our government that we want to be a Creole-speaking country, man. And for us to be going as far as even our census now, to have the Creole-speaking, Bahamians don't even understand what the language is. How could our government go ahead and have this proxy marriage without our permission?
Wow.
I figure you would have a referendum to determine who we want to be in our country or something like that.
Yes.
You know, I mean, if you have persons coming illegally, the majority, I knock on the people, right? But it's a principle.
Yes.
It's a principle. And how could the government feel? They're talking about gangs, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he has the biggest gang problem in the Caribbean.
That's right.
And our government just I wonder what these people be on, PLP on, FNM. I wonder what they be on. Because I'm just a human. It's all of the human. All right? This foolishness. I call it foolishness, the mere fact that they take our passport and just give it to people who we don't even know. We don't know what they're into, what gang they is and whatever, and they just give them our passport. My irony is that I've been trying to get my passport like 5 years, but I got my passport from before 73.
Wow.
All right?
Yes, sir.
There's nonsense but going on, man.
All absolute the procedures you got to go through. If you're a BM, you got to go through all kind of procedures. You
got to get behind the passport. They can't do it.
Yeah, you got
people who we don't even know. What this nonsense is now, I listen to the census and creep. What that mean? I ain't just innovation, you know.
No.
I talk in principle in our government, man. This is nonsense. And citizens can't get their own documents. And they giving away our documents to people we don't even know. We don't know what they bring into our land.
Hey.
This nonsense, we got rule about all this crime and all that. And
listen.
Our government right there, just giving.
Listen.
And the citizens be like a venom spite.
Listen.
We can't get our passport. What the hell is this?
I'm going to say something to this. I'm glad you talk about this topic. You know that around a general election, sometimes political appointees help assist illegal immigrants get their documents to register to vote in the general election. And then they are promised these documents. All right?
Every time.
So that's why you
I
see.
Get it before
yes.
The election.
So there's a lot of corruption going on with both PLP
right.
And FNM. And they
right.
Need to be looked into and see if we can lock up some of these ministers and parties for allowing us to sell out the birthright of the Bahamas to illegal immigrants in order for gain to win the general election.
Hey, it's good, G. And you know why you stick us like a sore thumb? Because guess what? We are citizens, right? I mean, no matter what we do, they got us on record, man.
Yeah.
And you know what? Our record will haunt us until we're dead.
Yes.
And they keep us out and keep us in. All depends on what you vote for. And
yes.
All, or which Christian group you get or whatever. If you ain't Christian, you get your thing. What the hell is me and mine?
That's why we so mixed up now. That's why we mix.
You know, the next thing, and people, they always talking about, you got to go and you're the preacher and Jesus. Want me to do something? This nonsense need to stop. People who mass up on this Christianity and they, like they're doing the most wicked.
That's,
I called it that, man.
That's what
the most wicked thing.
That's what happened in our country
and
right
then,
now.
And then you know what? They could tell people who ain't doing nothing, no wicked, no evil, and think, yeah, but you got what you got to do is, you know, you got to come and let rebel this and that and that. This is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lie. Why are we reaching this point? I mean, in this country, man.
It's crazy. It's mixed right up.
You might as well be this, get this thing together, man, because this nonsense was going on. And this, like I said, with this census thing, it ain't no way. It ain't no way. And it ain't just no way. You shouldn't know nothing, you know. These people around here, I think, who run this country, think they're doing nonsense, man.
Hmm.
They know they're doing nonsense.
And I'm glad you brought... They're doing nonsense all over the board. The Minister of National Security doing crap for letting out inmates, you know, charging serving time for murder. Man, someone, like you say, the passport department they will give you your documents you got from 1973. You have to get your death certificate. You have to get a death certificate from your mother or your grandmother. And then you got to go.
And they turn it right around.
Then persons who come here illegally get passport.
And more than that, man, they get every document.
Yeah.
While them in their own country can't do nothing in their country, they sit on the side and accept and give it with whatever dollar and then being pressured by the system.
Right.
Because we got to, you know, be human and everything, and everyone got to live. Yes, everybody got to live.
You remember?
You couldn't corrupt.
Yes. That's what killing us, corruption in all high places. You remember, around the hurricane, you would see when this Haitian national, he came on national TV and say, you know, we're going to support the Progressive Liberal Party. Did you see him say that before the general election? All right. So why do you think he's saying that?
Because before every election, you have politicians who go into the communities and they make promises.
And what they promise to them? They get them scraped with what? Documents? Bahamian citizenship, right?
Whatever they need, they get.
Right. And then?
Let me say something.
Good.
Let me say something. Party from party to party. This administration right now, it's the best thing we had. I mean, I even need to vote, but I support it. You know why? Because guess what? When I can see Malik, Grave, Davis, and then come up, it's the epitome of office prime minister.
Yeah.
And I say because no PLPF, and they're talking about decency.
Yeah, he decent.
Right?
I must say.
He's a decent person.
Yeah, he decent.
And guess what? If he was not sitting in the seat of governance right now, our dollar probably done been the value.
Yeah, he's doing a good job.
You know, but I understand that. But what I'm saying is,
we got to
pull this thing the right way, man.
Yeah.
And like I say, I'm not dissing any national, but the bottom line is that it is not right.
Yes.
It is not right.
No, it's not.
Because you know what? Even if we had to go like to say, well, you flip the coin and Bahamas is going to Haiti, right? Do you think that the Haitian people would be just, because we black all have come there?
No, sir.
Everything all right?
They'd finish it off.
Look like that.
No, they'd finish it off. They say we rich.
Huh?
They'd say we rich, and they could finish it off because we rich.
Yeah. But Scrooge, like I say, you know, I hope our government wake up.
They better wake up.
Because, I mean, when they look at the war over there with Russia, in Russia, right?
Call the company right now. Go ahead, call them.
When they're looking at that, right? It shakes my mind to one day in the future, because Russia taking up going back to the country, they talking about World War II and what they did, blah, 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 and they feel like they have a right, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it ain't no different here, because when you allow so many people to come in your country and they get such a stronghold, they get all in their government, get it all in the defense force, all through everything we have. One day, it will be one day will come. Because their numbers are much, much greater than ours, okay? And their temper is much more violent than ours, okay? And you know, one day you will see the same manifestation. Sure. But I hope that they don't come soon. And, you know, have a good night, Scrooge. You have a good show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, man.
All right. Thank you, Red. Made some good comments. Let's take this next call. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scrooge, how you doing?
I'm fine. Good night.
Scrooge.
Hey.
It's JJ.
Hey, what's up?
I'm good. And I'm going to make a good call tonight. See, this is why all the three, all the graves here, we talk about and you bring them, we ain't getting a pension. All the Senate, all the government agents, we ain't getting nothing. We can take anything back from them. All the land they give you, we can land tax them, we can take anything back from them. And they're right. See, that's why Americans have a problem. Biden lost. He can't remember nothing. Donald Trump, the prime minister, was the president. Russia never for the way they play. The only something I can talk the Russia, China, everybody. And got the big leaders. See in America, then so they said why they get so many different people in their country. You can't come to nobody country legally and get the same thing as real payments.
No.
It's our country.
No.
And all the big leaders, all the so-called coach, all the athlete group, they saying anything. Because the country don't get the boy nothing. But none of them weak. Toronto will only be fired for nothing by the Canadian fight and ripping our people off. The insurance company ripping us off. But we make people be talk too much, man. We need to start fighting.
Yeah.
So let people say, if we don't fight, we don't
we don't deserve it. We don't deserve
it. So who ain't want to fight?
Yeah,
what's the thing my children and my grandchildren? The talk got to stop.
Yes, sir.
Hey, excuse, one more thing for I say. It's only motherfucker. It's only my time for this again and the position and the judges and this thing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's only matter time.
Yeah.
What's the thing? Chop my way. They're on the streets every day.
Yeah.
People tired.
Yeah, he went tired all around. Yeah.
That's 10 years and 10,000 and 2 years and people tired.
Yeah, a lot of people.
These TSs and the rest of them, we can start beating on. Because you all working for us, be tired, you all shit. Stop looking at the payments, right? What's the thing to happen to them?
Yes,
no one's grieving for them. What's the thing?
Yes, sir.
And thanks to my call, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you very much. I tell you, there's a lot of mad people in this country. They're just a caller. There are a lot of people who are mad. All right, you see the guy shooting at the patrol car, and run. After he shoot at the pedestrians, and run, then put up his hand, and the police finish him off. So if that should show you what we face in this country. Go ahead, caller. We're going to take this last call.
Yes, sir. Good evening, man. How you doing?
I'm fine.
You know, one caller say he support the VLV. They say I don't support none of them. Ain't no difference. The PLV ain't doing no different from the FN. Nothing.
Mm.
Whatever they doing, ain't nothing different. Remember the thing with the portal, Kaya? They closed one deal with the FN had, and they opened up another deal.
Mm.
You understand me? The deal with the FN had, that involved a port and all. You understand me? Cruise ships and everything. So I ain't buying that one. But watch me. Look at how the politicians, they could fail to give their finances, right?
Mm-hmm.
But and they had a time, they had an extension by law, and they failed to meet the extension.
Yeah.
And the penalty was a fine or a fine plus jail time, and they ain't getting nothing. So seems like only the poor miners go to jail for minor stuff.
See, that's what happened now. That's why we so mix up.
Right. And you see, look at the thing with the people who trying to get the land out of the West. Come on now. The immigrant poor man could go and get land.
Lord.
You understand me?
Yes.
And everybody else, they look at pine, all the trees they cut down in pine, but they the minute the whole swamp. You understand me?
Yeah.
To develop every construction development in this country, you gotta cut down pine trees. So why the poor Beeman can't go and cut down? You know?
Yes.
Anyway, you hear me?
Yes, sir.
So that's bad, man. These people, they joking. You understand me? They joking. They winning elections through what you call it, a gerrymandering. You get a man coming to prime minister himself, coming to power, he only got 1,200 voters in his constituency. That's a whole seat.
Yeah.
Come on. You get many constituencies like that. That alone is wicked. But let me show you through it. Trust me, they can't do nothing to you, you know. You gotta speak the truth to this power. You gotta represent the poor man.
Yeah.
You understand me? You and Kim, like the only what's the lady name? Evan Green. She's the only one who afraid of them.
Wow.
You see, just me. You know how it go. Once you speak, then they can't touch you. All they can do is come and try to buy you up.
Yes, sir.
You understand what they're saying? And trust me, you. There's money right there in that ghetto, bro. Once you could go out there and sign up every unemployed man in the ghetto where you rest in the ghetto all around, and you could start with them.
Yes, sir.
You understand? You
yeah.
Unionize them, all the store workers, all the construction workers, they ain't unionized. They bosses unionize and they ain't unionized. Come on, Scott.
You read my mind, eh?
Yeah, you know man, you can start from them. You don't need
you
no government or nothing. Else.
You must know what's going to happen. I didn't figure it out now, too, and that's exactly
yeah.
what I meant to, you know.
You go and get, you see him, how you should run your gang?
Yes.
You go and run your political organization in the ghetto to get things done.
Yes.
You
Advocate.
Understand me?
Yes.
Say they're saying, bro.
Yes, you're right.
They do us to you, Scrooge.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
I was strategizing on that CM Point radio.
That's all you don't need these people.
Yes.
Talking to the Guardian radio ring and lift you down for standing up to them.
Yes.
You understand me? The Guardian radio lift you down. You go get another radio.
Mm-hmm.
You see, but you need a wife every day, you know, screw
it. I know.
Just one day a week, just garbage for you, you know, screw it.
I understand.
You don't need no college degree to have 5 days a week.
Yes.
Come on, bro. Just stay real, you know. Yes. Thanks, man.
Yeah, man. Respect, man. Thanks very much. And you're right, you know, I'm coming to my senses now, and I say, you know what? I'm going to get together, get some guys in the area who want to start their small business, and we're going to come together and let me help you guys to get your business license and help you all set up your business community. And let's work together to create some hundredaires, thousandaires, and millionaires so that you guys could be able to help sustain your community to get ahead of this problem so we can know about these sexual predators in our community, so we can know about the guys who are doing crime in the community and be able to deal with them in a reasonable fashion. Either we talk to them, change their mindset, and be able to assist them.
Yes.
So I don't know. I'm going to say the callers are very passionate. Like I said, there's nothing going on in our country. There's no jobs out there for the Bahamian people. The kids are unmanned in these communities. The teenagers are just doing what they want to do. All right? The bad guys are just roaming the streets doing what they want to. The police are playing a very important role of removing those bad guys. But the problem remains that these guys were once kids. Eh? They once went to primary school. They once went to junior school. They once went to senior school. So we're catching them when they're 17, 18, 19, and 20, when they just about have caused a lot of damage to the country. We need to put in preventative measures to make them make the right choices and change their mindset. All of these communities are unmanned. Just communities doing whatever they do. There's no sense of direction. All right? Let me show you the sense of direction I'm talking about. One time ago, guys start setting up cell phone cards on the side of the streets. That was a sense of direction. Notice everyone started to sell phone cards. Okay? Same thing. Blue jeans. Just about every person in the Bahamas is wearing blue jeans. So what I'm saying, that's a sense of direction. That means when someone saw you wearing the blue jeans and they continue wearing the blue jeans, then that program us. So we need a sense of direction. You know, sense of direction means we have to encourage people to empower themselves. All right, so that they can be able to take care of their communities, because the police can't be able to deal with the matters. The police is after the fact, even though they take illegal firearms off the streets and save life. But that is after the fact. All right? So it's crazy. We have about 2 more minutes. So let me see what I'm going to say real quick. You know, for me, like I said, we have to focus. You know, we have to focus. Our leaders, I don't think they have a clue on the seriousness of the criminal minds in our country. All right? We are seeing where young men them just killing people in the streets, the enemies in the streets in broad daylight, knowing that there's a penalty to pay. Police cars are riding in the streets, but guys still are going to do their illegal activity. You know, Deputy Commissioner Clayton Fernando, he stated that the guys are shooting at the police. He said, "What you think but me and you?" So if we're not going to empower the citizens in their respective community by creating hundredaires, thousandaires, and millionaires, and a lot of business owners in this country. Okay? All this crop you see happening, it's going to continue. All right? So, you know, it's hard. You know, sometimes I don't even know what to say, you know. I just hope that, you know, those who are listening, I'm going to continue to do what I have to do. I'm going to get stronger. But I just want to say this to the general public. We are in a serious crisis in this country. All right? We have a lot of serious armed young men in the country. Think about this. The police would remove 500 guns off the streets in a year. Right? That's before the lockdown. I think they already moved 200 guns so far for this year. And out of that, you won't see 100 person charged before the court for firearm possession. You probably would see 30 person charged with firearm before the court. So some of those guns are guns that some of the guys who get catch with a gun, they would give the police guns in return in order for them to get released. So this is more like gun buyback. But here's the thing. If the police take 500 guns off the streets this year, right, and we have 100 murders, how much guns do you think are presently in Nassau, New Providence right now? How much guns are you think are present in Nassau, Bahamas, with a population of close to over 400,000 to 500,000 people? How much guns do you think are in the country when the police take 500 guns off the streets every year? So far, they've taken 200 and something. And we've seen a high power 200 rounds magazine, 50 man magazine for handguns. All right? And we must remember also, yes, police, Clayton Fernando, he always talk about the criminal elements. But he also need to talk about the fact that I've seen defense force officers charged with armed robbery, robbing the bank. All right? I've seen police officers charged with armed robbery in the newspaper. I've seen defense force officers charged with firearm. I've seen where police officers, who are police officers, getting charged with firearm possession. So even though the deputy commissioner of police, Mr. Clayton Fernandez, is doing a wonderful job in addressing the criminal aspect, he also needs to address the fact that officers of the defense force and the Royal Bahamas Police Force are also criminals themselves. All right? And he's going to have to come down on them hard also. He's coming hard on the citizens and the criminal elements, but he also need to come down on those police officers who are breaking the law out there, because you can't say they ain't breaking the law. Because if you look in the newspaper, like I said, do you think all police on the police force are law-abiding citizens? I said this a few weeks ago. Now we're seeing where police officers, defense force officers, are charged with armed robbery and towing illegal firearm, and we're asking where the guns come from. Right? These guns come from the same police officers and defense force officers. When the defense force officers out to sea and they're in a group of six or seven, they bust a boat, they bust a sloop, there's guns and drugs. They take and share it amongst themselves and they bring it back to Nassau and they distribute it to get proceeds. It's the same thing when the police are on the streets. They're supposed to be protecting and serve, but sometimes they take this and use it for their power and they remove guns off the streets. Sometimes they take these guns and keep it for themselves personally, because we're seeing where police officers and defense force officers getting catched with illegal firearm. So that means this gun is illegal. It didn't come from the Royal Bahamas Police Force. It didn't come from the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. It came, it gets smuggling. The police arrest somebody, or the defense force arrest somebody, old Carl Harbour, old to sea, and they get together as a team. And they forget about the objective about protecting the Bahamas. They look at it and they use it for greed and corrupt the country. They take these guns and they put it on the streets in the young people and gang members and who they're going to give the drugs to. All this happens in our country. All right? Police be distributing guns on the streets. Defense force officers be distributing guns on the streets. It's in the newspaper. All right? Until we get this corruption. So where are we saying all the guns coming from? Well, we got to start pointing the fingers now. So Deputy Commissioner of Police, I think you're doing a wonderful job, Mr. Fernando. I think that also you address all these matters with these young men, them carrying these clips with 200 rounds and 50 rounds, and which is good. Now we need from you to talk about the criminal elements in the Royal Bahamas Police Force who are putting before the courts. You always say you're going to come at us, the criminals, hard, and they're going to feel the full brunt of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. What about those officers of the Royal Bahamas Police Force and the Defense Force who are breaking the law by having illegal guns and also committing armed robbery? What are you going to say to them? So we need the Deputy Commissioner of Police to address us as civilians on these matters. He addressed us on matters concerning criminals, but he is not addressing us on matters concerning the Royal Bahamas Defense Force and the Royal Bahamas Police Force for officers who break the law. All right? So I hope you enjoyed the show today. I'll see you next week on Inside the City. I just want to say this to everyone. If you want to live in this country, stay away from arguments. Okay? Stay away from arguing with people. Stay away from people who like to cause problems. You know, if you could avoid an altercation or an argument, please do that. There are a lot of sick people in this country who are ready to explode at you anytime. If you're driving a car and you get an accident with anybody, just be quiet and wait till the police come. If you can't wait on the police and see the person getting agitated, pull off and ride to the police station. Just as well if you knock down somebody in the streets and you see a crowd coming, they start to be hostile, leave the scene and drive to the police station if you feel threatened. Because even you could be in the right, but maybe a lot of people are mad and sick, eh? All kind of demons inside them. They don't know what is right. So they take it out on you. All right? So please, stay away from altercation, argument. Stay away from hot spots where, you know, shooting going on. Stay away from spots where, you know, gang-related incidents occur. Stay away from nightclubs that, you know, shooting has happened and people have lost their lives. Preserve your life, okay? Preserve your life, okay? Because right now, hell has been unleashed on this Nassau we live in. It's up to you to save your life, okay? So I'll see you next week on Inside the Inner City.
La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It's